us off, please?
The Minnesota Court of Appeals is now in session. Judge Smith, Judge Connolly, and Judge Kirk. The Honorable Tracy M. Smith presiding.
Thank you. Good morning. Welcome to the Minnesota Court of Appeals. We are conducting this oral argument via Zoom. Otherwise, other than that, all the regular rules apply. Although we're being videotaped, only the oral tape of it will be, recording of it will be posted on our website. So we have three cases for oral argument this morning. Our first case is State of Minnesota versus David Marvin Schuster, A21-1958. Each of you will have 15 minutes for your principal arguments, and counsel for appellant, you'll have 5 minutes for rebuttal. At the start of your principal arguments, if each of you could please state the name and the party you represent for the record, we'd appreciate it. And if you are ready to go, we are ready for counsel for appellant. Just watch the clock and wherever it appears on your screen, and we're ready to go.
Good morning, and may it please the court. My name is Kate Cartier, and I am representing appellant Mr. David Schuster. The lower court held that Mr. Schuster violated Winnebago City Ordinance 113.094 by hosting a card game between him and his three friends at his establishment, Schuster's Bar and Grill, on a Sunday, March 22, 2020. That ordinance prohibits the sale of liquor after 1 a.m. on Sundays. The ordinance further provides that no person other than the licensee and employees may remain on the on-sale licensed premises more than 30 minutes after the time when a sale can legally occur. So the state's argument goes that because Mr. Schuster did not possess a special Sunday liquor license, no liquor could be sold on March 22, 2020 at any time, and thus no one other than Mr. Schuster and his employees were permitted to be at Schuster's Bar and Grill on that date at any time for any purpose. The state's argument is untenable. The record is clear that there was no sale of any alcohol on that date. There was no testimony or other evidence submitted to indicate that any alcohol was sold at Schuster's Bar and Grill on March 22nd.
So I think, counsel, do you know, and I will have this question certainly for your opposing counsel, can a establishment that sells food and liquor, typically Monday through Saturdays, be open on Sundays just for food sales?
That is my understanding. My understanding is that Mr. Schuster's limited food license allowed him to sell food 7 days a week.
So I think the question that I have with the ordinance, when you look at D, no person shall remain on that licensed premises more than 30 minutes after the time when a sale can legally occur. The question is when can they start coming back in? And as I understand the state's argument, I think, but we'll hear from them, I guess implicit is in there is people can start being on the premises again once the sale of liquor can start again, which I presume would be 8 a.m. on Monday morning. But it doesn't tell us when they can be there again. It just says when they have to essentially not be there 30 minutes after 1 a.m. Sunday morning. So what is, when we look at D, what does it tell us and what does it tell you, either by plain language or otherwise, about when people can be on premises?
Yes, Your Honor, I think that that is a good question. I think it is important to note, though, that this ordinance specifically relates to the hours and days of sale of alcohol, and I think its applicability is limited to that. Now, if we were talking about a 1 a.m., a 2 a.m., a 3 a.m. occurrence, it may be a closer call, but that's not what we're talking about in this instance. We're talking about a Sunday afternoon gathering amongst friends.
So how does that help us interpret the statute that it's 5 p.m. on Sunday instead of 3 a.m. on Sunday? You know, when the statute, it definitely regulates some non-sale hours because it says you can't be there more. Like you can, after closing on Sunday morning, Saturday night, Sunday morning, it has to clear out 30 minutes after. It's basically within 30 minutes after that, you've got to clear out. So it definitely, like, as you're suggesting, tells us that at 2 a.m. you can't have people there Sunday morning. 2:30, 3, but why 5? Like what does the ordinance tell us about that?
Sure. So to be clear, Your Honor, under the circumstances, when I, you know, when I said the 2 a.m., 3 a.m. hours, that was with the understanding that that was under the sale of alcohol. I think it's important to note, though, that if there is a business like Shooter's Bar and Grill that is a bar and grill, that there would be a conflicting authority to operate a legitimate business interest. So when there's two conflicting, you know, essentially orders of operating a business, I think that it's important to look at the effect of the application of the ordinance itself. And under the facts of this case, I think how the state wants to apply this ordinance has led to an absurd result. Okay. Ultimately, it has led to the criminalization of a card game, a longstanding card game amongst longstanding friends at a premises that is privately owned. Okay. It has led to the criminalization of innocuous conduct done wholly inside the four walls of, again, a privately owned building. And as the court, you know, kind of got to, I believe, it's led to the criminalization of standard business operations. Mr. Schuster does have a license to sell food, and that includes Sundays.
And where I was, if we were to take, as the district court did, this thing, the ordinance to mean that no one can be there 30 minutes after from 1:30 Sunday on until, I guess, the next till 8 a.m. Monday is what I read it as anyway, essentially. What are there other ordinances? Like you talked about the license to sell food on Sundays. Is there some other, I don't see in the briefing, but is there some other scheme where we should look at that says, oh, yes, he's authorized to, this Shooter's is authorized to sell food on Sundays? Is there another ordinance or statute that then you're saying would be in conflict with that?
So I don't have an actual ordinance or statute to point to for the court. I apologize on that. But the granting of the license itself, which has been submitted as part of the record, shows that he is entitled to sell food on Sundays. And that, of course, would necessarily require, you know, his business to be operating on Sundays.
Counsel, had the business ever had a history or pattern of being open on Sundays and actually just serving food?
Your Honor, I'm not sure. My understanding is that is the case, but I'm not for certain.
And who's Counsel, the?
Why
didn't, go ahead.
Why didn't you focus more on the word remain? Because it doesn't seem like these fellows had been there closing time and remained.
I think Judge Kirk was trying to pitch you a softball.
Yes.
I have the same issue, by the way, that Judge Kirk has.
Okay. Yes, that is a very good point. One that I wish.
So, Ms. Cartier, there's no evidence in the record that your clients in the card game started playing at 1 o'clock the night before, correct?
That's correct.
And since this is a criminal case, the state has to prove beyond a reasonable doubt. Is that correct?
That's correct, Your Honor.
Okay. Thank you.
Can I ask Ms. Cartier, who is the licensing authority for the food license that you say is in the record, which I'll take a look at, but do you know? Is that a city license or a...
Your Honor, I apologize.
That's okay.
I don't know off the top of my head who is the authority.
Okay. I'm wondering then, given that also the question about remain, would you read D as meaning that some other people could come in and be there at 1:35 who weren't there at 1, you know what I mean? Or at 1:40 or 2 who were not there between 1 and 1:30. I guess that's the question about remain. Does it really literally only apply to people who were there at closing?
And in case you're wondering, Ms. Cartier, that's a trap.
That's a trap, not the softball. Yeah, it's the other side of that question. What does that remain mean?
Yes, Your Honor. I do think that, you know, if this ordinance is meant specifically to, you know, limit, you know, the Saturday going into Sunday, it would necessarily entail that this particular limitation would require a party to be on premises at a time that was otherwise permissible and then remain past this 1 a.m. mark. So I do think there would have to be presence prior to 1 a.m. and after in order for D to be applicable.
Or maybe prior to 1:30. That's the question, I guess. Shall remain more than 30 minutes after, oh, the time when the sale can legally occur, which is 1. Yeah, so you'd have to be there at 1. Otherwise, it's so anyone who comes at 1:05 could remain at 1 after 1:30. That would be the other side of that argument, I guess.
With the assumption that there would be that business entity would have a license that would otherwise allow them to be open on a Sunday, like Shooter's Bar and Grill, that would allow them to, you know, sell food, engage in business on a Sunday.
But isn't your position that they weren't open for business? These were friends that came over, the bar was locked, the lights weren't on, indicating it was open.
Yes, Your Honor, that's correct. But I'm just taking the interpretation of this ordinance as proposed by the state to its logical conclusion that it all in this case, it specifically criminalized a card game amongst friends. But as applied, as proposed by the state, it would criminalize legitimate business operations.
On that point, though, I mean, if your clients were at the bar at 1 o'clock, and we're still there at 1:45, whether they were playing cards or not, they would be in violation of the statute, correct? Or the ordinance. So I'm not so sure the card game is the best, and forgive the pun, hand to play on this argument. And I understand your point. It is sort of like, you know, there's no evidence in the record that they were, you know, playing cards and drinking alcohol. I think that'd be a different case. But isn't your strongest argument that what your clients are charged with is not a violation of this statute because there's no evidence in the record that they were there at 1 o'clock playing cards straight till, I think it was 5:30 the next day. And, you know, whatever other violations of this statute may occur, they didn't violate this one. And if there are other facts of other people wandering in the next day, well, that's a different deal.
That's absolutely correct, Your Honor. I completely agree.
That's also I'm trying to think of the word. We had a trap. We had a softball. That was just good judgment on your part.
Thank you, Your Honor.
And of course, in this case, though, it's complicated by the fact that the bar simply was not open. I mean, we're talking a hypothetical fact because it was closed the 6 days prior because of the emergency order, right? So, but the argument still applies apart from the emergency order if we were in a different situation, right?
That's right, Your Honor, because that count one, which was the violation of the emergency powers order, was dismissed. That wasn't ultimately ruled on. And so that wouldn't be as part of the record.
So under the remain theory, they would have had to have been there, I guess, on the previous. When did it start? Monday night or something was the last lawful sale. I forget when the emergency order went into effect, maybe a Tuesday, I think.
Yeah.
A Monday or Tuesday.
Yes.
Was the last time it was open for sale, right?
That's That's right.
Is the ordinance ambiguous?
I believe that the ordinance is ambiguous as applied here. I believe that given the results that followed, and you know, if hypothetically it was otherwise thought that the language was clear, that it somehow, you know, did apply to Mr. Schuster's conduct, that the results that follow make it clear that it's not, and that the absurd results that have flowed from this need to be considered. And I believe that's about the extent of my time. So I will reserve any for the rebuttal.
Great, thank you. You will have 5 minutes for rebuttal. And counsel for respondent.
Thank you. May it please the court, Cameron Davis on behalf of the state. I can launch into some speech if you'd like, but I take it based on the questioning from Ms. Cartier, probably the real crux of this discussion is whether or not 113.094 sub D is ambiguous or not with respect to the word remain.
Let me start, if we may, can you just answer sort of a factual question? Is under your interpretation then of the statute, which I think would be the district court's interpretation, an establishment like Shooters or another bar/restaurant, we'll just make it another one if we don't want to make it Shooters. They, under this ordinance, they may not be open for just food sales on Sundays. Is that correct? That would violate the ordinance to be open for food sales, even if they have a license to do so.
It would. I believe there's pretty clear testimony in the record from the appellant that, in fact, he has not historically offered Sunday food sales, which I do think is telling.
Let's answer, though, just it might be, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I just want to know just generally, if there is a Chili's or something in Winnebago, maybe there's not, but if they don't have a Sunday liquor license, but they want to be open for breakfast, lunch, dinner on Sundays, that is not permitted in this jurisdiction. Is that correct?
If they ordinance, it would not be permitted. And I know there are specific interpretations with respect to whether or not a separate area of the premises is, and in fact, that came up in this trial, whether or not there was a separate entrance, whether or not there were other parts of the establishment. The evidence in this case is that the persons that were found in the bar that support the allegation for the violation were actually in the area that serves alcohol.
So you must be focusing then on what it means to remain on the quote on sale licensed premises. Is that it? I want to understand what your interpretation of the ordinance means for all establishments in Winnebago. Okay, because we're being asked to interpret the ordinance, not just this particular situation. So if there's a licensee that does not do Sunday alcohol sales and it's a bar restaurant, what does D tell us about their ability to remain open for any purpose on Sundays?
That D would prohibit that unless they took some provision to set up a separate location on the premises, something that could be considered a separate premises.
So the on sale licensed premises, that has some meaning that's other than the place as a whole. Where you're saying, like, for example, this place could separate its eating from its, I'm trying to understand how that fits in, because sure. I'm not seeing any more specificity other than on sale licensed premises to understand what that means.
There are counties in the state which don't allow liquor sales on the same premises as grocery sales. And those specific counties require, if a Hy-Vee wants to sell liquor, require a wholly separate entryway and closed off part of the store to sell liquor in that part of the store. I don't know that there are any metro areas like that, but in outstate, you see that quite frequently. Likewise, in Winnebago, if someone chooses to operate a Sunday afternoon food sale without a Sunday afternoon liquor license, they can't do that in the bar. It's pretty clearly prohibited by this ordinance.
Because the restaurant side would not be the licensed premises. that would not be the, quote, on sale licensed premises. Is
I that think it? That would be a matter of interpretation for the licensing body, but that's not the issue before us. But I assume there are ways that could be dealt with, as they are dealt with, for instance, in grocery stores that choose to offer liquor sales.
Because I guess I'm not sure the difference between, I don't know that it matters hosting a card game with friends or, you know, a birthday party for the family or whatever it is in a closed establishment and a food establishment. I mean, the district court said there's no exception, which is what I understand the reading, for the sale of food either. So it's sort of whether you're open for food or closed for a card game, it seems to me that your reading of the statute would preclude it, except that you're saying, well, food might be able to be sold as long as it was, quote, not the on sale licensed premises.
That's exactly what I'm saying. And okay, that's exactly what the statute says, that the only prohibition is against having persons other than the license holder and employees in the on sale license in the on sale premise license premises.
So if I understand you, then you're saying if there was a leak in the bathroom on Sunday at 5 o'clock and a plumber who was neither an employee nor the licensee, that plumber, if he showed up to fix the leaky toilet, there would be a violation of 113.094D. Is that correct?
It's my assumption that we would classify that employer, that employee, for the purposes of that interpretation, that subcontractor as an employee of the bar.
And where do you get to say that? It says employee. And assume that this plumber is an independent contractor. He is not an employee and he's not a licensee. So under the plain language of the statute, which, as I understanding, the state and the judge relied on, wouldn't that be a violation? Because no person means no person. And we don't want anyone on bars because, God forbid, you know, maybe they go around and open the fridge and have a beer, and, you know, that's wrong.
The city of Winnebago gets to decide that if it's wrong for that person to be there, and they have done so according to this license.
How long do you think the city council of Winnebago would remain in office if they prosecuted plumbers for fixing leaky toilets on Sundays at in establishments like this? My hunch is there'd be a real clean out at the next election. And I mean, I think that's the problem, at least I have, speaking for myself, not my treasured colleagues. You know, remain under the dictionary suggests you're still there, not that you came later and were never there. And I think that makes sense because, as I would understand the statute, it's like, look, we don't want people hanging around after closing time. You know, that's when mischief occurs. That's when maybe the bartender has had too many and he's going to serve the person again. Or, you know, it's just bad things happen at closing time. So we want everybody out within 30 minutes of closing time. No one can remain. But I see something different. And since this is a, you know, a criminal prosecution, the burden's on you, that, you know, if these people weren't there at 1 o'clock on Saturday night, I'm not so sure they violated the statute to face a criminal penalty.
I believe
under these facts. Under these facts, I'm not talking about some other facts. I'm talking about these facts. Now, why am I wrong, Mr. Davis?
I think you are wrong, respectfully, Your Honor. To me, there is a better plain language reading of that word "remain." That.
So there's two types of plain language readings.
If I can answer, Your Honor, if a licensed establishment holder is there on a Sunday afternoon, like Mr. Schuster was, and three people show up at his door and come to the bar, and Officer Pettit happens to come by at that exact moment, he can't cite David Schuster for violation of this ordinance, because David Schuster at that point has not allowed those patrons or persons who aren't employees or license holders to remain on the premises. So to me, that is what remain implies in that plain language, that in this case, Mr. Schuster was aware of and allowed those persons to remain on the premises for more than an hour to engage in what he admitted to be a social gathering. And that's where the violation comes. That's where the word remain comes.
Counsel, has anyone ever been prosecuted for this prior to the date of this particular matter, which seemed to be in response to the governor's order, even though you didn't feel you could prove that?
Your Honor, there are one or two bars in the city of Winnebago. It is not a large city. At the time that this ordinance was in operation, I believe, if not at this time, then for a substantial time period afterwards, there was one bar. And I don't believe there are allegations that there are longstanding violations, or certainly longstanding violations that were discovered by law enforcement. There is no secret that this was discovered by law enforcement because of the ordinance, because of the governor's executive order that gave rise to the discovery of this violation. But to my knowledge, there hasn't been a reported violation to this office that's decided whether or not it's going to proceed with prosecution.
And at the end of the day, Mr. Davis, the governor's order is irrelevant, right? If the same conduct occurred this Sunday, it would be a violation in your view.
That's correct, Your Honor. And, okay. And that is, you know, to not wade into that political discussion of whether or not that ordinance was appropriate or not, or that order was appropriate or not, the state decided not to prosecute that aspect of the case.
So although it seemed to be part of the argument, nonetheless, at trial, that's what it was a little confusing to me, but it doesn't matter. It's irrelevant to the actual decision. Is that correct? Is the position of the state? You know, I was looking at Minneapolis just by comparison and other ordinances, because I wondered, what does this mean for other, how does cities govern themselves? I was looking at Minneapolis's ordinance, a similar ordinance that says during the hours, and it's basically between 8, and it identifies them, a start time, 1:30 or 2:30, depending on when, you know, how late you're licensed to, and 8 a.m. During those hours, no person shall be allowed to be or remain upon or within such room, place, or premises for any person purpose, except that the owner or licensee, his or her agents, servants, or employees may remain there for the purpose of cleaning, preparation of meals, necessary repairs, or other work therein. It seems, you know, it answers or it addresses some of the questions that we've had in looking at what does this mean to, is it only people who are there to start with? Because it's be or remain. What about our plumber? Well, repairs. You know, it gives a lot, and it gives an end time to the bar of when you can be there. It's 8 a.m., which is when you can also start serving liquor again. So it's a lot more detailed of an ordinance than what we're seeing in Winnebago's.
And Your Honors, I think there certainly is a valid point that it may not be the most clearly written statute. I think the question that the court has to answer is whether or not it's unconstitutionally vague. The ordinance cited by Your Honor from Minneapolis provides much more detailed and specific guidance. I should certainly respect if the court finds that the word remain is so ambiguous in that statute that it doesn't provide proper guidance. I do think it telling that was not an issue that was raised in appellant's brief, and it hasn't been raised by anyone before the court at this hearing.
Well, we are obligated to, what has been raised is whether, and what the district court relied on was the plain language of the statute and whether there's been a criminal violation. I mean, is that a fair statement, Mr. Davis?
It is. And I'm not critical of the court for raising that.
I didn't think you were.
I only point out that at no point did defendant ever assert before at all, including today, that he didn't understand that he wasn't to have people in the bar. His under that remain clause, the defendant's allegation has been this is a harmless card game that's being criminalized. The card game is not being criminalized. Repairs of a bathroom are being criminalized. There's nothing being criminalized except for non-employees, non-license holders being in that bar. And if you look at the findings of the court, they're detailed about that he wasn't there engaged in any sort of business except they weren't engaged in any sort of business except social business. And I do think that the city and the state have legitimate concerns for controlling people being in licensed liquor establishments during non-regulated hours for any and all purposes. And could the statute be written better? But I'm not arguing that it couldn't be written better. I think the Minneapolis version far exceeds what's in this statute here. But again, the court needs to answer whether or not that is so so vague as to violate constitutional fair principles.
And I will say it did surprise me, but it's helpful. I'm obviously helpful to your argument that food sales could not even occur on Sunday under the state's view, under the ordinance, right? That even food sales could not, even if you had a license. Is there a conflict between license to sell food? I mean, that, assuming it's within the bar, you know, assuming we got a one room place, is there any conflict there or not?
I think that assumption that it's in the bar is the problem. The governor's order in and of itself did not prohibit food sales. It prohibited consuming food on the premises. And so I don't think there's any issue with Mr. Schuster having a Sunday food license, allowing him to sell food, which can still occur whether or not patrons are on the on the premises.
Yeah, I'm not talking in reference to the governor's order. I'm talking in reference just to this weekend, you know, that there, this upcoming weekend, there could not be sales within, let's assume a premises is not divided, you know, and closed off and all of the things. Like, in other words, within the licensed premises, what I take to be the licensed premises of the bar, there could not be food sales.
I think
without violating.
Takeout or delivery food would still qualify as food sales. It would require that license.
Oh, for takeout. I see. But you could not host the public to sit down and eat at a restaurant. I guess that's what I'm saying. Right? That would violate the ordinance to have people have a burger in the bar area on Sunday.
Yes, I believe
right?
It would.
Okay. Are there any other questions? I see you're out of time for my colleagues. No?
No.
Okay. Any rebuttal?
Briefly, the state argues on a plain language reading of the statute, but then concedes that it's not, I apologize, ordinance, but then concedes that it's not the most clearly written, okay? And I think that the examples that were kind of flushed out by the court show the difficulty in applying this ordinance as the state suggests. So having a separate area in a restaurant and bar, that may be appropriate in a grocery store setting, but I don't think that is realistic for many spaces that would have a restaurant and serve alcohol. And my understanding is that in this case, the friends and Mr. Schuster were at a table, so not sitting up at a bar or anything like that. They were at a table, so I don't believe that's a distinction that has any sort of consequence.
Well, to me, it's meaningful though. If the city of Winnebago decides, if you're a bar, and we'll just assume it's like, you know, sort of a bar with tables, you know, one room establishment, one large room, that we choose not to have you be open at all, except during the regulated sales of alcohol plus a half an hour to leave. You know, we choose to have you close on Sundays. And you know, if that means that you can't have a restaurant on Sundays, well then so be it. This is the policy choice that we're making. And that's what we mean when we say clear out 30 minutes after license sale, and then otherwise you can be open during on sale regulated hours. Why couldn't Winnebago just do that?
Sure, Your Honor. And I think that Winnebago has made that policy choice by granting a food license that they've said you can be open for this. You can be open. So I don't think that this ordinance, you know, somehow trumps, you know, other decisions that were made that would allow Schuster's Bar to be open on Sundays.
I guess we haven't had that tested because it doesn't sound like restaurants are open on Sundays for non-sale food service, non-alcohol food service.
And that's all I had for a rebuttal. Thank you very much, Your Honors.
Thank you both very much. Appreciate the arguments and the briefing. Case is submitted. We'll have a decision out in the statutory time period. Thank you.
Thank you.